Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shiur Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We are now in the middle of our discussion of Mishnah Dalad in the third chapter of Masechet Sotah, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, near the top of the Amud. The Mishnah taught that there is such a thing as a zechut, that a woman could have, merit that a woman could have, that would delay her punishment for 1 or 2 or 3 years. In the end of the previous podcast, we studied the passage that tried to identify who the authority would be who would allow for an extension up to 3 years. We identified it as Rabbi Shmuel. And now we're going to continue with the issue of the zechut, investigating what kind of a zechut it would be. And let's see the piece. Zchut tamai, ilam zchut de Torah. If you think it's the zchut of her studying Torah, ha'inam etzuvavi osahi. She's not commanded to study. So the assumption here is that if she's not commanded to study, then although she gains some merit for studying, it's not enough of a merit that would have that kind of power to suspend her divine punishment. Ela zchut to mitzvah. It must be the zchut of some mitzvah that she had done once or has done many times or something of the sort. Now, zchut mitzvah mimagani kulehai, since when does a mitzvah protect in such a way? So long. V'hatanya, zu derash Menachem Reb Yossi. Famous drasha, ki ner mitzvah v'torah, or the pasuk in Mishlei, that the mitzvah is a candle and Torah is light. Talak atuv et mitzvah v'neret ha-torah v'or. So the text compared mitzvah to a candle and Torah to light. Tzvah v'ner l'mar l'chaman ner eina megina ela l'fi shah. A candle is only good while it's lit. Hamitzvah in a meginah lefishah. Hamitzvah only protects while you're engaged. Or the Torah is compared to light. Lamar lachama or megin leolam or is forever. Aftar meginah leolam. V'yomer b'talecha tancheotach b'shoch b'cha hitisichecha hitishmor lecha v'akitzot hitisichecha. What is b'talecha tancheotach? It escorts you when you walk. This is talking about wisdom or Torah. Zeh olam hazeh. That's in this world. B'shoch b'cha tishmor alecha zumita. That's when you're dead. It protects you. V'akitzot hitisichecha. When you rise, it will speak with you. Latid lavo. Talking about the resurrection. It's like a man walking in pitch black night. He's concerned, he's afraid of the thorns and the sharp desert bushes, right? He's also afraid of wild animals. Even from robbers. He also doesn't know where he's going. Or once he gets a torch, he's saved from the vegetation that's dangerous. He's still afraid, though, of being attacked. He also still doesn't know where he's going. Once the sun comes up or the dawn breaks, he's saved from the wild animals of the night and thugs. But he still doesn't know which way to go. Once he comes to the crossroads, it's light and he's coming to the crossroads, he knows which way he's going to go. Now, the notion there, though, is to say that whereas a candle can only protect with a limited protection, once light comes up, he's saved. That extended drasha is there for that point in our context. Davar acher, there's another reason here. Avera mechaba mitzvah ve'en avera mechaba Torah. A sin can extinguish a mitzvah. So if you did a mitzvah, but then you did a sin, the sin will extinguish it, which means, by the way, here, if this woman is guilty, which is the assumption, then the schut that she had is going to be wiped out by the sin of adultery. Right? Ve'en mi avera mechaba Torah, but an avera cannot extinguish the schut of studying Torah. Shenamar, mayim rabim lo yichlu l'chabot et ahava. Right, great waters will not be able to extinguish the love. The love is such a passionate fire. In this case, the understanding is the love of the study of Torah, that the greatest waters here being used to symbolize a sin cannot extinguish it. So how do we answer this? We also mitzvah be'idna da'asik ba'megano matzla. A mitzvah, when you're engaged in it, protects and saves. Bidarid lo asik ba, when you're not involved in it, aguni megan, it still protects, atzul lo matzah, but it can't save you. It does protect you from normal occurrences, but it can't save you from real troubles. Torah ben bi'idna de asik ba, ben bi'idna de lo asik ba megan o matzah. But Torah, which has to be one step up, is always, whether it's while you're engaged or when you're not engaged in Torah, protects you and saves you. So Matkiv to Rabba, his colleagues turned around and said, Lamiata, Doeg v'achitofel mi lo aski b'torah. So why were Doeg and Achitofel, who aren't matched in the text, but midrashically are matched, as the enemies of David, who, according to the Midrashic tradition, Doeg, which is a far cry from the reading of the text, but both Doeg and Achitofel were masters of Torah, and nonetheless they hunted down David. So we say, Amailo Higin Alayu, so why did they end up getting killed? After all, their Torah should have protected them. So you can't say that somebody who studies Torah, and by the way, regardless of their attitude or their approach or their interests, but just the fact they study is going to protect them even when they're not studying? So we're going to take everything a notch down. When you're studying Torah, it protects you and saves you. When you're not studying, it'll protect you, but it won't save you from trouble. You're about to be killed, you're going to die. Mitzvah, but a mitzvah being beina da asikba meina ina da loasikba at all times aguri megane atzuli lo matzla will only save you, but it will not. It will only protect you, but won't save you. Which means we go back to our original question: is the woman's zchut cannot be zchut of mitzvah because it's simply not strong enough to push away the punishment that she should be getting for the terrible sin. Avinam ali olam zchut the Torah. So Ravina takes it back and says our first assumption is wrong. Really, the woman does have a zchut of Torah. You say that she's not commanded. You're right, she's not commanded. But with the schar that they call and they teach their sons, and they wait for their husbands to come back from the Beit Midrash. In other words, they run the household in such a way that enables their husbands and children to study Torah. Don't they have a schar with them? Right? And which we're going to touch on in a couple minutes. Now, my Parshat Drachim. Back in the Midrash that we read about coming in the middle of the night, we said once you come to Parshat Drachim, the crossroads, you have everything solved. What is Parshat Drachim? Rav Chista, Zeh Talmid Chacham V'Yom HaMitah. This is a Talmid Chacham who comes to this day of death. And he looks back and realizes that his whole life was spent properly and he never did deviate. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Zeh Talmid Chacham V'Yirat Chet. Talmid Chacham who finally achieves Yirat Chet and knows that he not only has the scholarship but the proper moral compass. Mar Zutra Amar Zeh Talmid Chacham Nesalkal Ishmaita Libet Hilchata. Talmid Chacham was successful in having his words accepted as the halacha. Dabar Acher, back in the middle of the drasha, V'ra Mechaba Mitzvah, V'ra Mechaba Torah, said that a sin can extinguish the protective power of a mitzvah but not the protective power of Torah. This drasha that he said was like something given at Sinai. It was such a strong statement. If David's enemies had understood this, they wouldn't have run after David. The Midrashic notion is that they understood that because of the sin of Bathsheba, God had left David, because once you do an Avera, the protection that you have is gone. So my drush, what was their drusha? V'lo yorev achar v'atavar v'shom miyacharecha. The Shekhinah will leave you if there's a v'atavar. V'nan yodin shavra mechama mitzvah v'ra mechaba Torah. They didn't understand that that's only true about the schut that you have of mitzvot that's wiped out by Navira, but not the schut of Torah. Now, at the end of that pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Mayim Rabim, it says, Boz yavuzulo. That if anybody tries to buy love, they're going to disgrace him. What's the drasha? Amar ula lo kashimon achi azarya, v'lo kav yochanan deve nesia. Not like those two examples. Ela kehila v'shevnan. In those two examples, Shimon achi azarya, who's mentioned famously at the beginning of Masechet Zvachim, yochanan deve nesia, these are people who the wealthy relative initiated the idea that I'd like to support you while you study, not for purposes of gaining anything, because I, Baruch Hashem, have been blessed, I would like to help you out and study. So Shimon, who was a great Tana, was called Shimon Achi Azarya because his brother Azarya was involved in business and said, I'm going to support you. Ela Kehila V'Shevna, this was the bad story. This is when they say, Boz Yavuzelo, the Chiyata Rav Dimi Amar, Hila V'Shevna Achi Havu. This is the famous Hila. He had a brother Shevna. Hila Asuk B'Torah, Shevna Avad Iska, Shevna went into business. Sof Marle Tona Rovin Niflog. And Shevna said, well, I realize you're quite a Talmid Chacham. You know what? Let's go into business together. But the idea is, I'll support you, and I want your schar of study. So that's where Bat Kol came out and recited the verse from Tehillim. If a man should give all of his money for love, then they will disgrace him. So it's talking about Shevna. Okay, now, I promised that we would deal with the end of the Mishnah, Mishnah Dalet, which is back on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, at this point, because now we're going to analyze it. So, we had just mentioned the issue of Schut. So, Mikan Omer Ben Azai. Ben Azai said the following, Chayav Adam Lomed Bito Torah. A man is obligated to teach his daughter Torah. Why? Shim Tishteh Tidash Schut Tolela. Because of the possibility that if she commits adultery later in life and she drinks and the waters don't work, she should know the reason the waters don't work is because of schut, and therefore she won't come to ridicule the Mayim Hamarim. Rabbi Elazar Omer, he says the opposite. Kol ha'malamed bito Torah lomda tiflut. Anybody who teaches his daughter Torah is teaching her licentiousness. We'll see this developed in our sugya. And then Rabbi Yeshua Omer wrote, Sa isha b'kava tiflut mitisha kaminu prishut. A woman would rather do with much less in the way of wealth and have licentiousness than to do with more wealth and to have to live an austere and ascetic life. The assumption here being she'd rather have her husband around, even if he's going to make a lot less money, than to have him traveling and making more money and not have him there. Hu haya Omer, Rabbi Yeshua also said, Chasid Shoteh, a foolish, pious person, Rasha Arum, a clever, wicked person, V'isha Prusha, we'll see what this means, U'makot Prushin, the wounds of the Prushim, of the ascetics, Harelum of Alei Olam, these are things that destroy the world. Okay, now let's go back to the top of Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Bet and see how this is developed. Omer Ben Azai, Chavad Alei Rabbi Torah, Zerah, Oz, America, Omer Ben Torah, Lamda Tiflut, can you imagine that if you're teaching your daughter Torah, you're teaching her licentiousness? It's as if you're teaching her licentiousness. Why? Because when you teach somebody Torah, they become very, very sharp. And then if their attitude is not properly adjusted, they will end up using that cleverness for wrong things. I am wisdom and I dwell in Orma. Now Orma is two different words. It can mean cleverness or nakedness. Once a person gains wisdom, he suddenly gets cleverness. That's one. That's what Rabbi Elazar's take. So what's the other take on this? Those who disagree with Rabbi Elazar, which is represented as Ben Azai, but here it seems to be represented as Rabbanan. Hi, ani chachma, my avdi, what do they do with that pasuk? By the way, Rabbi Yosef Rachanina, ain't the very torment coming out of Mishim, Amid Atzmo Arum Alehen. He takes the other meaning of the word Arum. Naked, meaning with humility and without any sense of pretense. He says that the very Torah can only exist with somebody who imagines himself as if he's naked to them. Right? Shinemar, ani chachma, shachanti or ma. We have a parallel drasha. Torah can only last exist and remain with somebody who makes himself null, which is really an Eov question. Where will wisdom come from? But here it says a statement. Chochma is found in nothingness. Shomer, Otsai Isha, etc. The end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shua said, a woman would prefer one kav and licentiousness, my kamar, what did he mean? Hachi kamar, Otsai Isha, bekav, tiflut imo. She would prefer to have less money as long as it comes along with a licentious life, mitisha kabin appreciate, than rather to have a lot of wealth that comes along with an ascetic life. Now, the end of the Mishnah that we just read had these four things that destroy the world. What's a chasid shoteh? That's the first thing we have to deal with. Hechidami chasid shoteh. What's a chasid shoteh? Kagon de katava itata minahara. So, for example, a woman is drowning. Va'amar lav orach ara lemistakuli ba'atsula. It's not appropriate for a man to look at a woman and to save her. And therefore, she dies. That's a chasid shoteh. Hechidami Rasha Arum, what's an example of a wicked, clever person, or a clever, wicked person? For instance, somebody who meets with the Dayan before his opposite numbers, opposite litigant comes, and he tries to sweet-talk the Dayan. He says, remember, there's a poverty line of 200 zoos, that if you have less than 200 zoos, you can take as much as stock as you want at one time. The minute you have 200 zoos, then you can't take any more. It's leket, stock, etc. Now, if he's missing even one, he could take a whole big bunch at one time. So let's say a guy has 199. You go over and give him a little prut to make him have 200. That you look like a good guy, but in the reality, you're cheating him out of the possibility of getting a much larger amount. A Rasha Arum is somebody who gives advice to the male heirs of a small estate to sell their property. Because what happens when a man dies with a small estate? His sons, well, we'll see right now, his sons, the daughters are inherit, and the sons have to go begging. But if the heirs go ahead and sell, the sale is good. And so therefore they have a way to cheat their sisters out. It's the case of the Acharecha. And we'll see this in the Tanya. If a guy says, I'm giving my property to you, and from you it goes to that guy. When I die, it goes to you. When you guy goes to die, it goes to him. And you can set up a chain like that, which is not revocable by anybody else in the chain. However, let's say the first guy in line, after the fellow died, the first guy inherited it, and he went and sold it, when he dies, the second guy can go collect it from the buyers, the Divrei Rebbe, that's Rebbe, meaning the Acharecha is irrevocable. He says, no, it's not, because you give something to me, while I have it, I can do what I want with it. If I sell it, that's gone. If it's still around, then it goes to the next guy. And that's from Shem Gamliel. So if, let's say, somebody's in the middle of an Acharecha scheme, and a fellow gives him advice and says, why don't you sell your property? That's in a Rasha Arum. He's giving advice, but it's advice that's hurting the other fellow. Somebody who convinces people to follow him by appearing to be very pious where he really isn't. Somebody who's very lenient for himself, but is very machmir in his rulings for others. You know what a Rasha Arum is? It's somebody who studied Tanakh, somebody who studied Mishnah, but has not studied the depth of reasoning of the halacha, which is called Shimush Tamnei Chachamim, literally apprenticeship. And now we'll see a little bit more on that theme. Itmar. If a guy studied Tanakh and Mishnah, Mishnah here meaning received law, but didn't delve into the meaning, and therefore understood the principles and able to apply them properly. Rabbi Lazar Omer Hariz Amaretz. That's called an Amaretz. Rishu Omer Nachmani Amar is a boor. That's in the Gramus. Yane Omer Hariz a Kuti. That's like a Samaritan. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Hariz a Magosh. It's like a magician. By the way, the word magician in English comes from the Persian word Magosh or Amgushe, which somebody who says incantations. Rachmi Yitzchak Mistaber Karvacha Bar Yaakov. That last explanation makes the most sense. Why? Da Amri Inshi Ratin Magusha V'Loyad Amay Amar. The Magusha makes an incantation. He has no idea what he's saying. In the same way, Tani Tana V'Loyad Amay Amar. Same thing. A guy repeats a mission. He doesn't understand what he's saying because he doesn't understand the reasoning behind it. It's like he's uttering gibberish. All right, and therefore, somebody who has studied but has not has read but hasn't really studied in depth is like a magush. Tanu Rabbanan, Ezo Amaretz. So now we're flipping it and saying, all right. So what's the definition of an Amaretz? Kol Shena Kori Kriyat Shema Shachrit VeArvit Bevir Choteha Diver Meir. Meir says somebody who does not read Kriyat Shema with its brachot daily. Chacham Omim Kol V'Sheinu Maniach Tefillin. Doesn't put on tefillin, but Azir Mar Kol Shein Lo Tzitzit Bevigdo. He has garments of four corners without tzitzit. Rabbi Yochanan Noatan Ben Yosef Amar. He has children, he's not raising them to study Torah. You know what an Amaretz is? Even if it's somebody who himself does all those things, and he also studies Mikra, he studies Mishnah, but he has not studied in depth, that's an Amaretz. Now, let's say he only studied Tanakh, he's an ignoramus. Lo karav lo shana, let's say he didn't study anything, not even Tanakh, alava katuv omer, right, Beit Yisrael, Beit Yehuda, Zera Adam, Zera Behemah. God says, I've created the seed of Adam and of Behemah. This guy is clearly a Behemah. Doesn't even know Tanakh. Alright, continuing on in the theme of studying without sufficient depth, Yirat Adonai Bni Vamelech, Vim Shonim Altit Arav. Fear God and rule and the king, and stay away from shonim. What are shonim? Rabbi Yitzchak Elu Shonim Halachot. These are people who study halachot. Pshita. So ma'u detema shonim b'chet. I would think shonim means people who are habitual sinners. The reason it says pshita is because that's what shonim always means. Those who repeat their mishnayot. So I might think it's people who repeat their sins. Ravuna, the famous quote-unquote heter of Ravuna. The Amar Ravuna, Iman Shavar Adam Avirava Shanaba Utrava. Once a person sins and does it again, it becomes mutter to him. Kamashmalan. Now, in the other, in other passage, other places where this is quoted, the Gemara goes to the obvious exercise of saying, we think it's permitted? No, but it seems like it's permitted. You're used to it. So, Tana Hatanaim Vale Olam. The Tanaim destroy the world. Now, Tanaim here doesn't refer to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Chas v'Shalom. It's referring to those the people with the eidetic memories who were able to memorize the text and repeated them, but they didn't necessarily understand what they were saying. Vale Olam Sagadaitach? What does that mean? Amravina Shiromorin Halacha Mitoch Mishnatan. In other words, the problem is that they rule straight from the Mishnah, without going into depth and understanding the principles and knowing how to apply the rules. People who study Mishnayot, these are people who settle the world. People who study halacha, that's great. People who study Mishnah, that's fantastic. But people who rule straight out of there, they destroy the world. All right, the last thing that that Rabbi Shua talked about, he spoke about the four things that destroy the world. The number three was Isha Prusha. So we have an expansion on that. Tana Rabbanan, Betulat Salyanit, a maiden who is very praised all the time. Manash Shavavit, and a widow who goes, is very friendly with her neighbors. The Katan Shalo Kalo Charashav, which literally means a kid who never reached full gestation, but that's not what it means here. We'll explain it. Hare'elim Vale Olam, they destroy the world. Aini, is that really true? From Yochanan Lamanu, Yerathed Bibetulavik, Bilscharmi Almana. Lefech, we learn about great fear of heaven from a prayer of a maiden. And we learn about great reward and the significance of the heavenly reward, davka from an almana who would move around. Let's see. Yeratchet betula, Yochanan shamalahi betula denafla apa. He heard a betula fell on her face praying. Ka'amar, she said, Rabbeinu Shalom, barata gan eden, barata gehinom. You've created gan eden, gehinom. Barata tzadikim, barata rishayim. There's all sorts of people in your world, tzadikim, rishayim. Som fanacha shelo yikashlu bibnei adam. Please don't let me be the source of, or the object of people losing their moral compass. And it's a beautiful thing. Kibbutz Char Mi Almana was that. Tahi Almana Dafay Bechnishta Veshivuta. She had a shul in her neighborhood. Kol Yom Havet Atya Matzla BeMidrash Rabbi Yochanan. She used to go to Rabbi Yochanan's shul. Amala Bitila BeKnesset Veshivutech. He said to her one day, "Don't you have a shul in your neighborhood?" I'm Rabbi Rabbi Veloschar Psiot Ishli, but I get the schar of walking all the way to shul. It's a beautiful thing. So what did that brayta mean about an almana shavavit? Ki ka'amar kigon Yochani bat retivi. Alright, this was a story about Yochanan bat retivi. Look at Rashi, explains what it is. It's a woman who would pretend to be some sort of a witch. She was a midwife, and she would pretend that she had these incantations that could help, and she would not let the girl give birth, and she'd go out and pretend to do her incantations and then come back in, and then suddenly the baby would be born. She was misleading people in all sorts of terrible ways. My katan shelo kol uchorashav, so the third item in that braita was a young person, as it were. Hachatargimu, here they explain in Bavel, zet hamechacham vayit brabotav. It means it's a scholar who rejects and rebels against the rulings of his teachers. Rabbi Abba Amar Zev Talmid Shelo Higiel LaHora'a Moreh. It's a Talmud who's not ready to be ruling in Halacha, and he steps into it anyways. Rabbi Ravun Amarav, my dichtiv, ki Rabbim Chalalim Hipila, Vatsumim Kol Arugel, the Pasuk in Mishlei, she has killed men, made many corpses fall, and killed many, numerous people. What's that? Rabbim Chalim Hipila, Tamar Chacham Shalegiela Morah. That's talking about a Tamar Chacham who's not ready to instruct and does. So him called Arugeha is the opposite. Tamar Chacham Shigiela Horav Ein Omorah. Somebody who is ready to instruct and doesn't do so, it's also bad. Viad Kama, so how long should you wait till you're ready? Ardabin Shnin, until you're 40. Aini, Haraba Ori, Rabba died at the age of 40. So obviously, that's not the case. So the answer is Bishavin. Sure, if you are equal to the greatest person in town, so you don't have to wait till you're 40, but otherwise you should wait until you're proper age till you step into that position. Alright, the last item in the Mishnah was Makot Prushin. What is that? So Tana Rabbana, we'll see an expansion. Shiva Prushin Hin. There's seven kinds of ascetics. Parush Shichmi, Parush Nakfi, Parush Kizoi, Parush Meduchya, Parush Machovati Vasana, Parush Miava, Parush Mira. Let's see what these are. Parush Shichmi, Zeo Sema Se Shchem. This is somebody who behaves like Shchem, or like the city of Shchem, where they're ready to do this great act of Brit Milah, but for personal gain. In other words, somebody who takes acts of asceticism, but really for personal gain. Parush Nakfi, what's that? Zamana Kef Eman Kifet Raglav. There's somebody who's always hurting his legs because he refuses to take big steps because he considers that an act of a piety to walk that way. Parush Kizoy, what's that? Menachem Yitzchak Zamakiz Damlik Talim. Somebody who's always bleeding on the walls because always hitting his head in the walls doing these acts of self-flagellation. Parush Meduchya, what's that? Rashila Demashpa Ki Meduchya. He's leaned over like some sort of a mill. Parush Machovatim Esana, what's that? Hamal Yutahi. Well, what's wrong with the guy saying, please tell me what I have to do? He answered, Damar Machovati Tuvesana, meaning, tell me more, I gotta do more, tell me more mitzvot to do. He's always asking, and either he's giving a false impression of somebody who really wants to do more, or else he really just is not satisfied with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. Parush Miyava, Parush Miyira. What do you do with that? I'm Rulei Abaye Varava Latana. They told the Tana, Lotitni Parush Miyava, Parush Miyira. Parush Miyava, Parush Miyira, their understanding as they want to get kavod, or they're afraid of what people are going to say about them. So that's okay. That can be on the, that doesn't have to be on the list, because this list is a list of bad types of pre-shoot. A person should always engage in Torah mitzvot, even for the wrong reason. Because ultimately you do for the right reason. So therefore, avanira, that's okay. That which is uncovered, that which is covered is covered, that which is revealed revealed. Beidina Rabba Lipar Mihani de Chafugundi. The Beitin will ultimately exact punishment, exact retribution from the people who cover themselves up in talitot and appear to be. In other words, all of these are people who put on a face as if they really are righteous and pious and spiritually noble, and the reality is that they're not. Beit Din HaGadol and Shemayim will take care of them. Amale Yanai Malka Ledevite, and Yanai Malka was not somebody we generally like, but he said to his wife, Al Titoi Min HaPrushin, Vom Misha Inan Prushin. Don't be afraid of the real Prushin, don't be afraid of the real non-Prushin. El Min HaTzvuin, but be afraid of the hypocrites. Shedomin the Prushin, they like Prushin. And here he says a famous aphorism, Shemasein Kemasei Zimri, Makshin Sachar Kepinchas. They behave like Zimri, and they want the reward of Pinchas. In other words, the real behavior is really vile, but the impression they give is of being very righteous, and they want everyone to recognize them for that. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast, we will complete our study of the third chapter, beginning at the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Bet Amud Bet. And it's four different Mishnayot, Hei, Vav, Zayin, and Chet. And then the very short piece of Gemara that will go through the Mishnah, taking us to the end of the parak. Everyone should have a wonderful day.